You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.
Four cold weather shelters for homeless people in Vancouver have closed their doors over the past 2 weeks. The low barrier shelters on Cardero Street, Howe Street, and at Fraser and Broadway are all operated by Rain City Housing. A fourth shelter operated by the MPA at 4th and Fir also closed, making a total loss of about 200 shelter beds in Vancouver. Ryder Cooey is with the Citywide Housing Coalition. He's been very involved in the fight to keep the shelters open, and he joins me this morning in the studio. Hello, Ryder.
Morning, Jane.
Now, what's the logic behind the closing of the shelters in April?
Well, yes, we might wonder that. The logic escapes me. The reason, the justification, is primarily the agreement that was made with neighborhoods in some rough and ready fashion, and the limited funding that was assigned to those shelters. I should mention maybe that there is a fifth shelter involved. The New Fountain has a different status. It was to be closed as well, but somehow managed to get a reprieve for a couple of months based on its relationship to some supportive housing that's going to be opening soon, it is said.
What's special about the shelters that are operated by Rain City?
I think probably I'm not sure if it's unique, but it's certainly special. A special quality of the Rain City shelters is the fact that they are run pretty much with major attention to building the social capital in among the shelterees, among the people who stay there, building relationships. It's the relationships, the networks that you have among friends and acquaintances is a resource no less than your education, your money, your possessions, and networks are of friends and colleagues and connections are essential, and it's one thing that homeless people tend to lose. And in these relatively open shelters, low barrier shelters, there's a chance for homeless people to rebuild networks of support.
I understand there's also an ability for people to reserve a space, which might be different than some other shelters, so that they can go out through the day and have that kind of security that there will be a place that they can come back to that night.
Yeah, exactly, and that also is a crucial difference. And besides going out to do personal business and perhaps reconnect with the world, they're also able to stay inside. They're 24 hours, so you can stay inside and sleep. There's a lot of sleep deprivation among homeless people, and sleeping in the daytime is often something that they've become used to and really require. At the Fraser shelter in particular, there was one fellow who'd pretty much become a daytime sleeper, which makes it very difficult, well, probably impossible for him to stay in one of the regular shelters where you're booted out in the morning.
So it seems from what I'm hearing that the shelters were kind of created in as a sort of maybe a stopgap or emergency measure for some, you know, really bad weather things, but in fact they provide a kind of housing that's very valuable to people who are homeless on an ongoing basis, regardless of whether it's cold weather.
Yeah, created. We suspect, I think probably everyone suspects, primarily in response to the looming Olympics, and also an appreciation of the bad weather that has an effect on people on the outside.
Now, they were originally set up as a kind of a pilot project. Has there been an assessment of how well the project worked?
I'm sure there has been some kind of ongoing assessment, but the fact that they continue to close them, open them fairly late, and then close them on schedule. The openings, as far as I can tell, are are kind of hit and miss. I looked at my emails, and they didn't open this last year until December 1st, and it had been extremely cold, and there were days of freezing weather, and snow was predicted, and it was a week before the what had somehow become the opening date, December 1st. There was still a week to go. And so the opening of these shelters seems to be very hit and miss, whereas, of course, the closings are highly efficient, and April 30th was the deadline for them all to be closed.
What's happening to the people who had been living in these shelters?
It's hard to say often because, of course, one of the advantages of having them in the shelters is that you have contact with them, and they have contact with each other and with services and counselors and so on. And the moment the shelters are closed, they are dispersed, and it's very difficult to, even if they're assigned or provided space in Catholic Charities or one of the SROs or something, it's very hard once they're in there for people to keep track of them. And it's one of the unfortunate consequences of opening these shelters for 5 months or something and then shutting them down. It's also something that's extremely expensive, I think, as well.
One of the things that's kind of interesting to me is that these shelters are—they're not here in the downtown East Side, where there's a large homeless presence and a large problem with people not having homes here. Is that now that those areas are closed, which were more distributed throughout the city, as homelessness is also distributed throughout the city? Is there are you seeing any? Would there be any bad effects of that closing those? Those shelters which are in distributed around the city?
The bad effect is that it eliminates the possibility of people having a refuge, a shelter, outside of the downtown East Side. The moment those places are closed, people are directed, essentially. The city manager, Brenda Proskin, and officials come into the shelters and immediately start pressuring them to move to places where that are on their list. They have a list of openings, or places where they believe there are openings, and they're always downtown, and that's what makes them problematic for people in these shelters in the more outlying areas. They are using those shelters very much because they're not in the downtown East Side, and closing them means people are forced to choose between going back to the neighborhoods where they got into trouble, where they don't feel secure, where their lives are at risk often. Choose between that and simply going into the alleys and vacant lots and doorways where they can hide and burrow deeper into that kind of solitary, isolated state that homelessness represents.
There have been a number of protests about the closures, pretty solid all through, not this past week, but the week before. Who is it that can decide to keep the shelters open?
I think primarily it's Christy Clark. And then the city has some influence, I believe, but maybe it's somewhat limited. It's going to depend, I think, maybe on the relations of Gregor and Christy.
Now, you spent a night in jail as a result of the protest. How did that your protest against this? How did that come about?
It was at the Fraser Street. We never know quite what to call it. It's the Broadway Youth Resources building at the corner of Broadway and Fraser. And part of that building was made into a shelter. And it was the last of a series of closures last week. And we had contested the closure at the Cardero shelter in the West End in a more passive way. We had ramped things up for the closure of the Howe Street shelter a couple of days later. And then finally on the Friday, closure for the Fraser Street shelter, there were probably 30, 40, 50 people gathered there to support the remaining shelteries. They'd been pressured. Many of them had been pressured to leave by that time. And a bunch of us stayed inside. And then as pressure on us mounted, and as the shelteries made themselves scarce because of the presence of police, there was an amazing police presence, eight of us stayed inside and accepted arrest.
Now, I understand you weren't charged in the end.
That's right.
When I'm listening to this, I think that the homeless issue in Vancouver and elsewhere in Canada is one of the most disgusting ones that we faced in Canada, just in terms of a society that has enough affluence. Mm-hmm. We could be providing solutions for these people. As somebody who's been really close to that over the last couple of weeks and in terms of, you know, seeing these shelters close, what should we be doing as Canadians? How can we allow this to happen? I always find it to be, really a shameful situation that Canadians allow this to go on.
Yeah, it is. It is a sort of perennial question. I think maybe one basic thing that can be done would be to extend our networks to include people who are poor and people who are homeless, and that means to try to make some contact with those people, and then perhaps with the organizations and individuals who are working on relieving the situation, the pain of those people, but in particular working on the political solutions that arise and maybe make themselves available. And try to avoid the separation, the disconnect between oneself and people who are not like oneself.
Are there more actions planned?
There are. I wish I could tell you what they are, but that's not possible.
We should stay tuned.
Yes, please.
And support you.
Thanks very much.
Okay. Thank you very much. I've been speaking with Ryder Cooey. He's with Citywide Housing Coalition.